Hey, so it looks like we have a quorum now. Are we ready to start? All right, so it is 6:17 p.m. on October 27, 2022. And I'd like to call this meeting of the Human Relations Commission to order. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Commissioner Baber is absent. Commissioner Custodio Ten is absent. Commissioner Felix is absent. Commissioner Godinez is absent. Commissioner Lake?
Present.
Commissioner Medina is absent. Commissioner Alai?
Here.
Commissioner Pagenor?
Here.
Commissioner Ratner?
Here.
Vice Chair Kina Yub?
Here.
And Chair Branch?
Here. So the first order of business is the consent calendar. Do any commissioners wish to pull any items for discussion or questions?
And I'd like to state for the record, there were no e-comments submitted under this item, and we do not have any requests to speak.
Okay, thank you. So if no one wants to pull an item from the consent calendar, I would like a motion to approve the items on the consent calendar.
I make the motion.
And a second?
Second.
Okay, so there's a motion to approve the consent calendar, and that was seconded. I ask, is there any further discussion? So I ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Commissioner Lake?
Aye. Thank you, I apologize.
Commissioner Alawi?
Aye.
Commissioner Pagenor?
Aye.
Commissioner Ratner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kina Yub?
Aye.
And Chair Branch?
Aye. So the next item on the agenda is 4.1, presentation by senior librarian Alison Hamlin regarding the Chula Vista Public Library's Library of Us program.
Unfortunately, Alison could not be here tonight, but we do have Erwin and Taylor here representing the library. Please welcome.
Hey, thank you for coming.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Erwin Magbanwa. I'm a principal librarian and cultural arts manager for the city of Chula Vista. As Adriana says, I'm here to, we're here to represent in place of Allison. So we're really excited to have this program on December 3rd, Saturday, December 3rd, called Library of Us. It was inspired by the human library concept. If you don't know what that is, it's where people check out human books and read them or have a conversation with them. So Library of Us is gonna take place again on December 3rd on Saturday. And people are gonna be able to check out other people. And what that means is that for about 20 minutes, they can have a safe conversation with people who are probably they would consider different from them. So the books will be human books that will have like different titles. I think Taylor will go through the different titles, but basically the human books pick their own title. And then they sit down with people who check them out and they ask questions about them, they tell stories. I mean, it's basically each of us is a story, each of us is a book. The aim for it as the human library concept and Library of Us concept, the aim is really just to challenge stereotypes and really kind of bridge differences through the simple act of conversation. And it's a really exciting thing for us. It's such a unique program. I've held it before in my previous library, and it was my favorite program of all. I've done a lot of programs in human library and the Library of Us. This type of like checking out human books is like nothing else. And you know, we invite you to come and see it, experience it, come and check out the books and hear the different stories, and really kind of try to kind of again bridge that difference and really challenge those stereotypes of people who are we deem different from us. And Taylor, I guess, is going to go into a little bit more of the details.
Yes, I do have a little detail. I have some examples here for everyone. Hello.
Hello.
So we do have 12 human books at the moment, and that is the final number, not at the moment, and multiple of whom are here tonight. So hello. Nice to see you. Nice to see you in person. So each book chooses their own title so that they don't have a label placed on them by society. That happens a lot. So we just want to make sure that they are telling their own story, and then our patrons will come in and be able to discuss those stories with them. At the moment, we have the Queer Millennial Nonprofit Professional, The Invisible Black Non-Binary Parent, Swiss American Muslim Mom, Lifelong Celtic Pagan, Ukrainian American, Veteran and Cancer Survivor, CV Police Department will be providing an officer. We have yet to find out which officer, but there will be one. An autistic adult, social worker with dual diagnosis, tattoo artist, Indian American committed to community, and senior triathlete / Jewish immigrant. So we have a wide range of stories here, and we're very excited to hear all of them. And the way it will work is we have a schedule set up. So each of the books has their own table. We have 20-minute time slots throughout the day. It will be going from 11 to 4 o'clock. So the books will come at 10 and set up. Lunch will be provided for the books. We want it to be a wonderful, positive experience for everyone. And we know those conversations can be difficult. So we will also be providing two training sessions. The books only have to attend one, but it just gives them an overview of how the event will go, what they can expect, maybe some sample questions as conversation starters. And if there are uncomfortable conversations, letting them know that we welcome uncomfortable conversations because that's where change happens. But we, of course, want them to stay safe. We want our patrons to be safe. So we will also go through the policy of what will happen if they have a conversation that is not productive anymore. So we also have human library cards at the beginning of the event. Our patrons will be able to come and sign up for different time slots for the different books that they're interested in. And then this is just a prototype from a past event at a different library, but ours will look very similar. So this is 2, 4, 6, 8 different library cards. The patron will, after they've signed up, have a list of 4 different book titles and the hour that they're signed up to speak with that book. So that's basically how the event will run at this moment. Yeah. You have any questions for us?
Mm-hmm. I said one question. So the only way the person can sign up is to come in the morning. Is there anything you can do online ahead of time? Or
We will be promoting it, of course, lots of marketing and letting them know when exactly that sign-up time will be, so they have plenty of time to come in and hopefully get the book that they like.
Any other questions?
When are the training dates? Going
to
be.
The training dates are November 5th and November 9th. The exact times we still have to work out, but we will be contacting the books shortly. And they only have to pick one date that they go to. Yes.
Will you have a debriefing session?
Yes, we will. We'll have a debriefing for the books, and we will have a post-event survey for our patrons as well, so they can tell us what they liked, what we can improve on for future events, because there will be future events. This is just a jumping-off point. So while we have a wide variety of stories here, of course, there are many, many others out there that we'd like to address.
Is there any knowledge of this happening amongst children to children or peer to peer as far as age group goes?
Age group, it will be adult only, 18 and over.
Have there been other examples in other communities of it happening amongst children too, or is this just
actually,
an adult?
It is recommended for 18 and older. I did the human library in 2017, families came. So we had the parents, you know, and then the two kids, and you know, we're a library program. We can't turn people away for something like that. Yeah. So they, so it was, you know, the parents were there to kind of be able to have that conversation with the family, like read the book together. So that was interesting.
That's cool.
So yes, it did happen.
So are you saying, or maybe for this event, if a family comes, an adult comes with a child, the child can be part of the conversation?
With libraries, it's always, you know, we can't really turn people away. We can recommend, you know, we can strongly recommend this is for those 18 and older because of the themes, et cetera, and the nature of the conversation perhaps. But that's really all we can do. I mean, they come, we can't just say, hey, no kids here. We're a public library. We can't say that, you know, and, you know, we don't want to say that.
Anybody else? Well, it sounds like a really interesting program, and I like the diversity of the books. I guess I'm just interested in see how it turns out. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Well, thank you very much. Okay.
How is it being publicized? Is it out yet?
In some self-publicity yet?
There's no publicity as of yet. We are building up some marketing that will go on our social media. We'll have flyers as well. Erwin, do you have any other?
Yeah, I mean, it's still December 3rd. I mean, we want to save space for our other programs that are coming up in November. So so this one, we typically like the nice sweet spot is like two to three weeks before. We anticipate we'll generate a lot of interest in this because it is an amazing concept, and we're just excited to have it.
Sure, thank you. I just want to know so I can be on the lookout for it. Yeah.
Oh, you'll see.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right.
Cool. One more question I have. So, are you still recruiting books, or are you?
At the moment, we aren't recruiting anywhere. Go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, it's really the capacity of the staff. I mean, I guess it's really up to you all if you want to add more books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it just depends on how many staff we can have for the day. So right now we had thought that we were pretty much at capacity at 12, but if anyone else is interested, we are of course open to hearing those stories and having those participants.
Got a question. So the book has to be there from 11 to 4?
Yes. The book will actually be there at 10. I'll be there a little earlier to set up. Okay. And then we will have the debriefing afterwards.
Okay, one book needs some clarification.
So it's really like it's more like 10 to 5 or something like that.
Yeah, it'll be a little
yeah, longer. Yeah, we'll take care of the books for sure.
Yes.
It's a time commitment. It's also an energy commitment. And it'd be basically you're like opening yourself up. It's it's exhausting in a good way, but it is tiring. So yeah, we'll take care of you.
Yes.
This is very interesting. So the book, is it gonna be a group that they're gonna be? Oh, it's going to be one-to-one with the book. How is that going to look?
Typically one-on-one.
One-on-one.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like you sit down, whatever questions you have. And if you don't have questions, there are some guided questions that you can start with. Sometimes the book will just go ahead and, like, I can start telling you a story about myself or the most, the FAQ of me. What are, you know, these are the questions usually people ask of me when they see me, like, at the grocery store, and they say, you're different. I've always wanted to speak to find out a little more about you, and that's like, okay, this is usually the first question, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's.
And how often is this program going to be going on? Is it just going
to
be?
It's our first one, so we don't, and it's a big one, so we're hoping to definitely make this a regular thing. We don't know how regular it's going to be, depending on how staffing capacity.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Is there a contact number or email? Like, if we had specific questions about the training dates or times or anything like that?
Yes, I believe you can, of course, always email me or Allison, who couldn't be here with us tonight.
Okay.
I don't have a card with me at the moment, but I can say my email if you'd like.
Yeah, I'll be happy to share it as well.
Oh, okay. Oh, you'll share it with them? Okay, wonderful.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. All right.
Any other questions, comments? All right. Well, thank you very much for coming. We look forward to this program.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So the next item on the agenda is item 4.2, presentation by Marketing and Communications Manager Ann Steinberger on community service survey responses.
Thank you. I do have a presentation that we're pulling up. We got some technology updates today that have messed with us a bit. So, but you all have in front of you the a copy of the slides as well as the survey responses. So I can at least start with that. After the title slide is some details about the community survey. It was posted and available October 3rd through the 20th. We promoted it on the city website, in the city newsletter that came out October, I think the 3rd was a Monday or something. So also in social media at Think Chula Vista, we also distributed an email to city staff because a lot of city staff are Chula Vista residents. I'm gonna move this because I can't see some of the. Oh, there we go. We also had signage in the surveys at City Hall with the QR code. And all in all, we received 57 responses. And so now I have some more details about that. The first question was, what would you like the commission to focus on? And we have 57 responses to that. That was our open-ended question. They go on for 3+ pages. So, you know, I know you would probably be interested in reading all of these, but going through it, housing affordability, safety, crime, homeless, those are some of the issues, you know, that you all even heard when you were out in the community. Limiting growth, more homeless, clean, safe parks, keeping community affordable. And then it was interesting because on this one, we got a couple of responses that specifically, if you look at 41, tackle homelessness, and it looks like there's a group out there with some ideas about how to tackle homelessness. And we get that on 41 and 56. So those were submitted. Economic development was also an issue. I see DREAM Act and DACA. So very interesting responses for the community to the commission to review. So you can all look at that because I have some recommendations of how we might move forward. Then question two, as you recall, was about attendance at meetings. So on this one, we do have some metrics up there on the board. 54% said as a barrier was the time commitment. 9% said a barrier was transportation and traffic. 12% said responded not electronically accessible. 2% said language access, and 2% said not a U.S. citizen, because as you know, you need to be a voter, which means you need to be a U.S. citizen in most cases to apply to serve on a commission. And then in your packet, I have the other answers for people who picked the category other. And what we see there, and that's on page 6 of your packet, failure of others to observe COVID precautions, location, don't know where they are, schedule varies. You probably see I know better and waste of time. Also, communication wasn't aware, and work, I imagine that's work commitments. So those were some of the barriers we heard. And then the next open-ended question was question 3, what is the most pressing issue? Some of these are similar to what do you want the commission to focus on, but a little, also a little bit of different responses. But again, crime, homeless, affordable housing, need for large corporations or companies so people can have high-paying jobs in the community, housing, road maintenance. So you see 57 responses in that category. So that's also an interesting read. And then question 4 was another open-ended one. What would an ideal Chula Vista look to you? We also got we got 52 responses there. So those span 3 pages as well. You know, focus on development, affordability, I see strong and welcoming community, clean, more accessible. Again, homeless, welcoming. So a couple of things are great, it's fine. It's nice to hear every once in a while, huh? The 5th question was, how do you get your information about city matters? And you can see the metrics there. Community Connection, which is our city newsletter, 30% of respondents named that, 22% said social media, 29% said news media, 13% said Nextdoor, and the other comments are listed below there in your packet, not on the screen, but they participate in civic organizations, they access multiple news sources, print media and email, all of the above, so all of those answers. They're involved with Eastlake on Facebook, so other residents or business owners, and Councilmember Galvez's newsletter was a response for how they get their information. And then the final question we asked was, what is your zip code, just so we could get an idea of where people we're responding from. So 91902, so that's the Bonita zip code, but part of that is Chula Vista, so 2% came from there. 91910 at 36%, 91911 at 23%, and then out east, 91913, 9%, 91914, 13%, 91915, 14%, 4% other, but nobody filled in the other, so it's 4% other. So other zip codes. So all in all, we got 57 responses, and I think I would be quite accurate to say we probably couldn't fill a room with 57 people to have a dialogue. So this is good information to get from the community. And then the last slide I have for a recommendation is perhaps the community survey ad hoc subcommittee use these responses and other input, you know, that's been discussed here throughout the year to outline a draft work plan for presentation in January. I guess I should have said to create a draft work plan outline. So that might sound less daunting to recommend an outline rather than a whole plan or focus areas for consideration in January. A reminder to some of the newer commissioners, since the commission meets on the fourth Thursday in November is Thanksgiving, and the fourth Thursday in December is during the holidays. So we go dark in November and December. So next time we'll see each other is January. So those are the responses that we received, and I'm happy to answer any questions or any feedback on the recommendation. Or should that go under the ad hoc subcommittee section since this isn't an action item? I forget.
Right. This section, this item.
Oh, right. It's a presentation.
Commissioners are welcome to ask any questions, provide any feedback. But in terms of kind of next steps, we'll go, we can take that on the next agenda item.
I know this is surveys for our purposes, but are you aware of other groups, or people in the city who are also looking at this to see if you might guide any of their thoughts?
Oh, that's a good recommendation. So we just closed this, I guess it was the 20th, so about a week ago. So this is I compiled this all in the last couple of days. So this is the first reveal of it, but we'll be posting it and sharing it. So that's good input.
Okay.
We'll make it available.
Yes, because I think what we do with these responses normally from our in-person meetings is to,
your outreach.
Outreach, thank you, is to pass them on to other commissions and other areas of the city, right? So I think as we work towards an outline. I mean, I guess I don't know if we talk about this during community survey or now, but I'm thinking how to synthesize as far as the data. I know this was something that Ricky was really concerned about, is what do we do with it now, and how do we come up with the next item or the next plan. So I guess I hope that there's going to be some kind of guidance that would be helpful, I think, for us.
If I may respond to that, I think because this is a survey that the commission, you know, commissioned essentially, it would be appropriate for you to, for example, the responses with regard to homelessness. It would be appropriate for you as a commission to refer that item in a more, perhaps a formal, in a letter of some sort that the commission adopted to, for example, the Housing Advisory Commission, saying, we did this survey, we received these responses, here they are for your
consideration.
Yeah. It's a lot of, I think I only got through item
45, I think, as I was reading. And I, you know, I started seeing a theme on the very first ones, like you said, homelessness, affordability, safety. There are actually quite a few comments about diversity. So I'm wondering if there is a way to, you know, make a bar graph or something that out of the 57 responses, you know, this many dealt with homelessness and this many dealt with diversity and this many with crime, this many with traffic. Because it's valuable to read them all, and some of them have more than one issue, but yet what really stands out? And maybe even how does that look different? How does question number one, how do question number one responses differ in, you know, what's the most pressing issue facing Chula Vista versus, you know, what you'd like the commission to focus on?
Right.
The, you know, see that.
So I would say, and again, I know this conversation is going to flow into actions that you take. I mean, the meetings, if you've been following council meetings and some of the activities that have you know, and the agenda items and the items that the council is looking at, I mean, these, it covers all of those issues, you know, homelessness, safety. So some of these, I think, will respond to some of those actions that are underway. But I would say the community survey committee ad hoc should look at these. You know, quite frankly, I cannot keep noodling this.
Yeah.
And you asked for the survey as an opportunity to get more feedback from the community to figure out what you're going to focus on. So yes, we can share this with the our fellow commissioners. I mean, we won't pull out like all the homeless ones and send that to the Housing Commission. We can email the commissions. So we would email the commission and say, here are the results of a survey we just did on behalf of the Human Relations Commission, and, you know, for them to look at. But these continue to be the top issues that we're hearing about. So this information is for you to decide what you want to do, and, you know, we'll share it with department heads. But these are things that we're working on, and so, but it might give you some information to figure out what to focus on your end.
Commissioner Keena, you?
So I just read through all the responses quite quickly. Found them to be very humorous. but I think the biggest thing about that I took away from this is that a lot of people don't know what we do. They don't know what the city does, and they don't know what's currently going on, because I underlined quite a few that I took out the ones that were blatant. And then I went through some of them, and I realized that, I mean, we don't have any say over how many officers we have. Right. So that's something that, you know, if they sat down with us, some people were like, well, what, the Human Relations Commission is not needed, but then they don't know what we do. So it's like, you know, it for me, I think, and I don't know if this is possible, but it would be nice to maybe have a dual meeting with like Parks and Rec and maybe invite the community to come find out what we do. Or maybe have something where the commissions can be outside and meet the community so they can understand. Because some of them, like, we need more diversity on the commissions. I don't think that's an issue,
right,
on the commissions that I've seen. I mean, I've seen this one, Parks and Rec, maybe some of the others, but I don't think diversity is an issue. There was another one that said, why don't you, I can't find it right now, why do you attack police? I'm like, you know, I really think this is, the majority of this is just misinformation with people not getting it about. And I know some of the people that responded just by the last responses, that Get Involved Eastlake on Facebook.
Oh.
I know almost exactly who that person is. I'm like sitting here, but I do think that maybe, I don't know if it's possible, maybe having like something where people can come see the Human Relations Commission, like there was an event that the city put on, and we could get commissioners from from different commissions to come out and just say, hey, this is what we do, so that you know that there's a wide range of us, and we come in all colors and all genders, and we don't control the police.
Well, I think it would be good if the committee took some time with it and synthesize mm-hmm. what options are available, because, you know, the several commissions would go out to the large events and festivals that we had before COVID, and so that made sense to go where people are rather than have an event. I mean, this is what the reality is of all the commissions, and Adriana is going to give a report about what's going on at council regarding the boards and commissions. Some of them are being consolidated so that we can just be more efficient in how we request volunteers to assist with these efforts, and you know, some of the activities that the commissions engage in. So I would say that this is just it's a good opportunity to just, you have information responses from 57 people, and it's some of it we hear here and, you know, at council meetings, so it still reflects what are high priorities for the community, but what of these makes sense for the Human Relations Commission to tackle mm-hmm. is what I would say. Or consider, or, I mean, again, what would make sense for the Human Relations Commission to consider as it relates to the, you know, your charge to consider issues facing the community under, like, the Human Relations Commission umbrella that you would like to move up to the City Council for action.
Yeah. Perhaps this is a time to end this item, and then, you know, I guess, can we just jump to the other one, or do we need to go through the other items first?
It's your discretion. I think the next item would be public comments, and we did not receive any public comments, and we have no requests to speak. Okay. So you're welcome. You're free to move on to action items.
Okay. So let's move to item 6.1 and talk about community survey first under 6.1. Mm-hmm. The community survey ad hoc subcommittee has... right now it has four people on it, but one person isn't really active at this moment. So I guess I wanted to get an idea if from any of the members of the community survey about your thoughts about your group taking on, possibly looking at this further and maybe making recommendations about what to do with this survey.
I think it's doable to do an outline or a draft, a work plan outline. What date is our meeting in January?
It's at the end, like the 28th or something? Wait, January 26th.
There are three of us. We really have not met in person or coordinated a time to meet. I don't know everybody's schedule, especially during the holidays. I don't want to say, hey, can we push it back to February? But I think a more realistic, better draft may come out if we have a little bit more time. But I don't know if that's acceptable to the group. Is that okay with you?
Commissioner Alawi?
Yes, I agree with that because of the holidays. So I think we could meet next month and then meet again maybe in January to have a draft, final draft to present in February. That's what I'm thinking.
If we are ahead of schedule, we could always ask to be put on. What would be the date that we should get something to you, just so we can have that in mind?
If it is a draft for the February meeting that you're hoping to distribute to the group ahead of time as part of the agenda packet, February 16th.
And if it was for January?
Wow.
January 19th.
Okay.
So I think it is a good idea to have the subcommittee look at it. I mean, we can see sort of some broad themes among the questions. So, well, for example, homelessness jumps out. Mm-hmm. We've had speakers here on addressing that issue in the past, but you know, we could probably continue to do that and have some other additional speakers on that. So at this point, unless there's any more discussion about what we want to happen with these surveys, I think we should have a motion perhaps to have the subcommittee look at them and come back with a recommendation.
There's no real need to have the motion because the subcommittee already exists, unless there was an amendment to its membership.
I see, okay. Does anybody else want to join that subcommittee?
I think Commissioner Castudio Tan is coming back.
Okay.
They said that they were going to be here this evening, but they caught the flu.
Oh, okay. So is there any further discussion on the survey and what should happen to it or what our process is moving forward? Okay, so at this point, I think we can move on from this item. We'll
just wanted to say thank you to Anne for synthesizing these and putting them all together.
Thank you. Yeah, actually, yeah, it is. I also think this is nice organized information that we can, you know, provide us some input about what we should be thinking about and what we could do. So thank you for this survey. All right, so now we can move on to item 6.1, the data sharing technology subcommittee, and I'll give a report on that. Let me make some notes here. So basically just going to tell you about the what happened, the last actions of the Technology and Privacy Task Force. So that our last meeting was on September 26th, and at that point we finalized recommendations, which were now in the hands of city staff, and city staff is currently analyzing and making recommendations that will then be submitted to City Council. Last information I have indicates that that presentation will be made to City Council on November 1st. Is that still the plan? At 5 p.m. And the staff's recommendations that will go to City Council are going to be published so that, you know, the public can see them and make comments on them. Once that information I had said this was happened today, did it happen today?
It's been published.
It's been published, okay.
An hour ago.
So the public, again, can make public comments on the recommendations at the City Council meeting, as well as by email or e-comment before the City Council meeting. And so to just summarize quickly what we ended up with, we ended up with three guiding principles. We did guiding principles to let the City Council and possibly future privacy board or others who may look at our recommendations to just get an idea of kind of like what we were sort of aiming for, like what our concerns were, what our goals were. And just in case there may be any confusion about a recommendation or why we had a recommendation, just to give sort of a general idea of kind of like what we were trying to accomplish. So the first guiding principle says protecting the privacy and safety of Chula Vista residents via enforceable law. The second guiding principle is providing the communities of Chula Vista with a permanent empowered board or commission. The third one is protecting taxpayer funds and city operations from waste, fraud, and abuse. And the fourth one was protecting Chula Vista residents' civil rights and civil liberties. And under each governing guiding principle, there's some more language kind of describing what we mean. In addition to that, we came up with 37 recommendations, everything from recommending a privacy advisory board, recommending a chief privacy officer, recommending use policies and data retention and data sharing policies, recommendations related to procurement and information security. So, you know, you can go to the city website and see all the information. I just want to thank the members of the Tax Privacy Task Force. I think that group worked pretty hard, very hard over a very, about a 6-month period. I also want to thank the city staff that supported the task force, as well as the Jeremy and the Medaffer, what's the name of it?
Medaffer Enterprises.
Medaffer Enterprises, that also provided support to the task force. With that, I'll just open it up for questions. If anyone has any questions. And I guess I just want to thank this commission for giving me the opportunity to serve as the representative to that task force. It was, you know, it was a very interesting experience, and I'm glad I had an opportunity to learn a lot about how things operate in the city, you know, a little bit more of the internal workings of things.
I do want to say, just to piggyback a little bit on your comments, is that the agenda was published today. I actually am just receiving the notification of the agenda being published. And we will, I will send it around to the Human Relations Commission, a link to the meeting, to the attachment, so you can see the staff report, the policy, the recommendations from the task force, and you're able to provide either electronic comments or you're welcome to come to the meeting on Tuesday at 5:00. And yes, I guess I want to say on behalf of the city that we really appreciate the work of the task force. I think their input and their recommendations were very valuable in drafting of the policy. So thank you.
Any other questions, comments, statements? Okay, so let's see, what's tonight? Next item on agenda is item 6.1, ad hoc Subcommittee for Indigenous Peoples Day Flag Raising Planning. Let's see. So Commissioner Kina, you or Commissioner Olawi, do you have anything to say about that? Or perhaps it's maybe someone from city staff can talk about what happened. I missed that event.
It went really well. As we know, it's kind of in conjunction with the task force for renaming Christopher Columbus and what they're doing. There were so many people that I ended up coming late. I ended up getting out late because the entire parking lot was full, and it was great. Oh. To see all these people come out and celebrate what they really had wanted, what they saw themselves in Chula Vista, and Chula Vista celebrating what we all really should be celebrating. So it was wonderful. There was singers, and the mayor spoke, Ricky spoke, Ricardo, and we had a few other speakers as well.
It was Chairwoman Angela Elliott Santos spoke on behalf of the Manzanita Band, and B. Samora from Kanapkwan Coalition, who you may remember was really also at the forefront of the statue removal.
And just so everybody knows, for the commission for the statue removal, they only had one party that submitted for the statue to take it, and that was the Sons and Daughters of Italy group that was headed by Grace, who came originally and spoke to all of us. It was rejected by the commission, so we are still going to maintain that statue for the meantime, and for now, they're setting up a thing, a basis on how to name and how to handle, like, renaming parks, renaming, removing statues that may be don't fall in line with the city of Chula Vista, and it's kind of drafting. And they've also got four names that we're submitting to city council as possibles for new names for Discovery Park. And all of them were vetted through Kumeyaay tribe leaders and people that know the history and everything. And my personal favorite is the one that says, like, what is it? Small River?
Kolskwish? I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong. But it references the topography of the area and kind of...
the water flows off the mountain.
Yes.
Yeah. It references, like, the water coming down the mountain and coming together, and that's basically what that area is. So I thought it was really beautiful and really nice. But they should hopefully... Now it goes to city council, and city council will decide what to go from there. But we still get to keep Columbus.
So why was it not given to the Sons and Daughters of Italy, or what was...
So the Sons and Daughters of Italy submitted... a request, mm-hmm. but it didn't fall in line with what the commission had originally seen as a reason to give over the statue. So,
what, we as the commission, or
the commission that was created.
Oh, okay.
So they have guidelines, things that they want to see, like to ensure that the statue is not utilized as a. That it comes with the history of why we removed it.
Okay.
So.
I just wanted maybe a technical clarification. So the discussion of the statue, do we still have what happened? I can't remember how that, what happened to our subcommittee? Or do we still have a subcommittee related to that? I don't.
There wasn't a subcommittee formed for that. The commission, the Human Relations Commission, appointed two members to serve, which was Commissioner Medina and Commissioner or Vice Chair Kina Yub. And so, that's certainly the feedback that they're providing now. And I have a little bit more to add to that under staff comments.
So. To get updates or reports on that issue, should we add something to our agenda?
It's up to you. They can also provide the update as part of their comments, their commissioner comments.
Okay.
Just can we disband that ad hoc committee then?
Yes.
This is over.
Yes.
Over.
Okay. The recommended action reflects perhaps it's your discretion to disband whichever ad hoc has kind of finalized their work.
Wait, which ad hoc are you talking about?
The Indigenous Peoples Day flag raising planning.
Oh, okay.
Because it already happened.
So okay. So do we need to vote on that, or just is this okay? All right, so the event has happened, so we don't have any more action for this subcommittee. So we need a motion to disband that subcommittee.
I'll move that we disband the Indigenous Peoples Day flag-raising planning ad hoc subcommittee for having fulfilled its duties.
Mm-hmm. And a second?
I second.
Mm-hmm. So the motion to disband that Indigenous Peoples Day flag-raising planning subcommittee has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? I'll ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Commissioner Lake?
Aye.
Commissioner Alawi?
Aye.
Commissioner Pajanor?
Aye.
Commissioner Ratner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kina Yub?
Aye.
And Chair Branch?
Aye. All right, so leave it this time. We should move on to Item 7, staff comments.
I have several updates for you tonight. And I guess I'll start off with Columbus, an update on that. So as Vice Chair Kina, you said the task force did finalize their work. As you may remember, the Human Relations Commission was who recommended its establishment. and they were given 9 to 12 months to complete their work, and they were coming up on the 12 months, so they could either ask for an extension or kind of just wrap it up and present to City Council. And so they did finalize their recommendations, and as Commissioner Kinayub said, they did reject the proposal from the Sons and Daughters of Italy. They adopted a framework that addresses monument installation, removal, as well as disposition. And in the disposition, it essentially reiterates the process that this task force took and said, if the task force is unable to make a recommendation, then the statue is to be placed in storage for 3 years or as the city manager deems appropriate, and then you restart, reinitiate the same process that was done before. And then they also, the framework also addresses naming and renaming. And the four names that were selected for Discovery Park, it is the intention of the task force that those four names go through the framework process, through that process that they've adopted. And then there was also marker language suggested that would take the place of, not take the place, but be placed at the site of the former Columbus statue. The task force's recommendations will be presented to council this coming Tuesday on November 1st at 5 p.m., same as the privacy policy, but Columbus task force is first. And the presentation will be given by Commissioner Enriquez, but I'll send that item as well to you, and you're all welcome to come provide electronic comments or comments in person. But City Council has the discretion to take action that night. I'd like to also touch, well, the privacy policy, we already touched on that. I'm currently working on a referral from City Council to do a holistic review of all the boards and commissions the city has and identify any potential overlap in roles, duties, functions, and recommend potential changes to City Council. I, together with staff, conducted review of boards and commissions, and we went to Council on October the 11th recommending kind of a framework of potential changes and seeking Council's feedback. After that presentation, we've been working on the implementing language to bring back to council to implement the proposed changes. And I guess I'd like to speak a little bit about them and say kind of what we're recommending and what we're moving forward with is we're merging Commission on Aging into Healthy Chula Vista Advisory Commission. However, the Healthy Chula Vista Advisory Commission is going to be renamed the Commission on Health, Wellness, and Aging. The Growth Management and Oversight Commission is proposed to sunset. The International Friendship Commission will be merging into the Cultural Arts Commission. The Mobile Home Rent Review. Historic Preservation Commission will be merging into Planning Commission. The Housing Advisory Commission will be renamed the Housing and Homelessness Advisory Commission. The Mobile Home Rent Review Commission will be merging into Housing and Homelessness Advisory Commission. The Safety Commission will be renamed Traffic Safety Advisory Commission. And the Youth Action Council will be disbanded in its current form. And instead, youth members will be placed on several commissions. There have been 6 commissions that have been identified. And in my discussions with Anne, who's been with the commission longer than I have, and Courtney, I know that the Human Relations Commission was interested in having a youth member. So we will be recommending an ex officio youth member who will be able to make like an advisory vote, but not necessarily a voting member due to the conflicts that are in the charter. If Measure K was to pass and the qualified elector is removed from the charter, then we can come back and make some of those youth members voting members. And those are the changes that we are proposing, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
So is the main reason these changes are being made is because of not necessarily being able to get enough people to
right.
serve on all those different?
I was remiss in saying that in recent years, there's been a lack of applicants to serve on some of these commissions. Therefore, vacancies go on unfilled for longer periods of time. Some of these commissions have trouble getting quorums. And also, some of these commissions really just don't have a lot of items to discuss. So it made sense. For example, Historic Preservation Commission hasn't met since 2018 due to a lack of items. And that's just, you know, because folks aren't applying for historic designations as much anymore. So it makes sense to merge its duties into the Housing, the Planning Commission, who deals with historic preservation issues already and can easily take on the additional duties of the Historic Preservation Commission. So it's also to create efficiencies and allow staff to create a more, fruitful participation and volunteer structure.
Commissioner Keena, you?
So I have two questions.
Sure.
Is the Human Relations Commission on the chopping block?
No.
Okay.
The only change that will be related to Human Relations Commission is adding the youth member.
Second, since you do have commissioners currently on the ones that will be merged, mm-hmm. will they be merged into those new commissions, or will there be a whole new structure of bringing in new commissioners?
The way the municipal code reads, the commissioners that will essentially be kind of left without a commission when the commission merges with the other, there is a parent commission, I guess, is what I should address first. So, for example, Commission on Aging, if it's merging into Healthy Chula Vista, Healthy Chula Vista is taking on the responsibilities of Commission on Aging. So there will be some members that will be essentially, you know, left without a commission. However, there are commissions that have vacancies. There's 19 affected members out of the total, proposed changes, and there are about 36 vacancies throughout all of the boards and commissions, so there are enough seats to absorb those left without a commission, and the mayor has requested that those left without a seat be given first right of refusal to the board that their commission was more merged into, but they will need to go through the appointment process.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments, thoughts?
I also wanted to say, I know many of you received the invitation for the JEDI focus groups, and I hope you were able to take advantage of that.
As I said, I did participate in one of the JEDI focus group meetings. Do you have anything else for your any other staff? Okay. All right, so chair's comments. I guess I just want to say, since this is our last meeting for this year and we're not going to meet again until January, that I just want to wish everyone Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I don't want Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year. I'm sure I've missed a bunch of holidays that will happen between now and then, so I'm missing every Happy Holidays to cover everybody else. So that's all I wanted to say. So any commissioner comments?
I was going to just say that I did do the JEDI training as well, or I don't think it's called the training, but the feedback session. And it was really nice. I got to see other commissioners from other commissions. It was nice to hear from others. It was a very welcoming space in that even if you disagreed with what was being said, there was enough of a preface to everything that was kind of like, it's okay. And I just felt that that was nice because it definitely allowed me to be as open and honest as I wanted to be, which sometimes I feel like we hold back. And so that was nice. I'd be interested to see what the results are given some of the comments that were elicited, but it was a really good opportunity. And then I am very interested in Measure K. You mentioned it, and I wondered if the city has any idea of which way people are going. Do they have any, is there any kind of...
So I went to the Charter Review Commission this month to talk to them about Measure K, and we are promoting that Measure K is on the ballot, and which is really the most the city should do. And the city is the city attorney is available for questions if anybody has any. We know, I mean, as I've said, a lot of people who work in Chula Vista live in Chula Vista, so they show us the next door and these and that comments. So it does appear that there's confusion out there about what Measure K does. If you've seen our social media post, it just kind of outlines that it, you know, eliminates some redundancies in the word, but like eliminates some kind of old language and consolidates or something, and it mentions about, I believe the city attorney needs to be a resident. We say qualified elector, but that's to say that it's eliminated so that anyone who lives in Chula Vista can serve on a commission. Don't know if people are understanding that from a social media post, and it's also posted on our website, and there's a Measure K page on the website that lists the exact language, and you can read all of it if you want, and it's available on the website, or you can also have it mailed to you. It's also in the city clerk's office, so we are working to get that information out. But yes, we do see the posts and the information that is inaccurate. But it, you know, we do have to have a fine line of not making it sound like we're campaigning for or against it. So working with the city attorney to make sure we're at least, you know, addressing the inaccuracies in the information we have posted on the website, just the factual information about the measure. But yes, we've noticed that in the community.
And the other thing is that I've noticed newspaper articles about some of the political campaigning around the city attorney's election and what it means if we have to have another runoff. Does the city have any response to that, or have they?
I can share with you the city clerk's response. I don't have it off the top of my head, so I don't want to say it wrong, but...
And if I may say, too, the city clerk provided a presentation to council on what would happen on the scenarios. I can provide you that link as well.
I mean, I think the thing that the newspaper articles were really touching on was the cost. And I think that the political campaigning as to the exorbitant cost associated with a runoff, is that, I guess... is there a response as to whether that's accurate or?
The city clerk's presentation outlines the range.
Oh, okay.
There is a range.
And where is that located?
We'll go ahead.
She made her presentation at a council meeting. I believe it was 3 council meetings ago. I'd have to find the exact date, but I can send you the link to the video stream, the video recording, so you could listen to it.
That'd be great.
Thank you. And we'll include the responses we provided to the media when they've asked the questions. Definitely the city clerk's presentation provides much more detail, but we have provided a couple of media responses. We've sent it to the media. We'll send it to you. So we'll include that.
Thank you.
Any other commissioner comments? Okay, so it is 7:22. And so I will adjourn this meeting of the Human Relations Commission to the next regular meeting on January 26, 2023 at 6 p.m.
next year.